Welcome to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley, and my guest today in the studio is Sharon Epp. Sharon, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
You are the Executive Vice President of Content and Media for Crown, and you're a frequent guest on the broadcast, so great to have you today.
I always enjoy being here.
Sharon, today we're going to start a series, and we're going to talk all week about a very important topic, God's economy. And you and I have been hard at work shaping this program so that our listeners could understand the difference between God's economy and man's economy. And I can't think of a time in our history as an organization, and we're now 34 years old as a ministry, that it's been more relevant, Sharon. There is a great sense of urgency to see God's people move out of man's economy into the Lord's economy. And I don't know if you saw this headline, but just this past week, a very highly respected economist, a Swiss economist named Dr. Mark Faber, made a statement that's shocking. He said the future will be a total disaster with the collapse of our capitalistic system as we know it today. There will be wars, massive government debt defaults, and the impoverishment of large segments of Western society. It's hard to believe we're reading that, isn't it, Sharon?
It is. It was in the gloom, boom, and doom report, and that makes me feel that way when I see that.
Well, it is very negative, but in many ways, people believe that he's on track with where we are because we have a debt-laden society, and we need to wake up and to move now with a sense of urgency and to take action. And our founder, Larry Burkett, spoke about this very thing years ago, long before Dr. Mark Faber was speaking about it.
You know, I don't know why we're surprised, because God speaks to his people, and he seems throughout history to prepare us and give us words of warning. If you just listen to a few of these words, Larry said, few Christians seem to understand the devastation generated through the misuse of money. There are those who've accepted God's financial plan as their own, and they stand out like giants among their brothers. And that's what we're really calling God's economy. But he says, more common is the Christian who withholds this area of his life from God and struggles within the world's financial system. And if that's not man's economy, I don't know what is.
Well, the world's financial system takes people hostage. It takes them captive, and it destroys lives, Sharon. And so this is a very real topic and a timely topic for us to come out with and help our listeners completely understand the difference between being trapped in man's economy and liberated in God's economy. Well, we're going to talk about that when we come back. You're listening to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley. We'll be back with more from Sharon Epps.
Want to learn how to make and manage money God's way, but you don't have time to read a book or participate in a Bible study? Then check out The Journey to True Financial Freedom, a live seminar presented by Crown Financial Ministries. It's fast-paced and life-changing. Invest just one day of your time in a Journey to True Financial Freedom seminar, and you can learn God's financial principles and practical ways to apply them for a lifetime. A trained instructor will teach you how to set priorities, develop a spending plan, eliminate debt, and more. You'll gain a deeper understanding of stewardship and faithfulness. If you're interested in attending a Journey to True Financial Freedom seminar, go to crown.org to find one in your area, or call 1-800-722-1976 and ask one of our friendly consultants to locate one for you. That's 800-722-1976 or online at crown.org.
Welcome back to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley, and my guest today is Sharon Epps. And Sharon, you're going to be the guest all week.
I am looking forward to it.
We're going to go deep on this topic of God's economy versus man's economy. And before we went to the break, you shared a quote from our late co-founder, Larry Burkett. What book did that come from?
You know what? That's from Your Finances and Changing Times, one of his very first books years and years ago.
Well, Larry was way ahead of the curve in recognizing that God's people needed to live contrary to the world in order to keep from being ensnared by the world. Mm-hmm. And we're seeing that it's rampant today. And Larry even said in that quote that we needed to reset our thinking. Mm-hmm. We needed to change our minds, didn't he, Sheriff?
Here's what he said. Without a large-scale return to God's plan, God's economy, for making, spending, and sharing wealth, I fear the same disaster that's overtaken the non-believing world will befall Christians. Outside of God's will, we have no immunity to Satan's schemes.
Hmm. Well, he was so right, and we're seeing it happen, Sharon. And I want to speak to our listeners for just a second. Larry said there needed to be a large-scale return, mm-hmm. but that starts with you. It starts with the individual. We can always think, well, somebody else needs to change. But the Lord says that change starts with us. And when we think about all the change that was promised in our country that's not happening, and that's not a political statement because basically if you look at the last 50 years of where we've gone as a country, we've gone deeper and deeper and deeper into debt. We have greater foreign dependency than we've ever had. We have greater personal debt as a percentage of the gross domestic product than we've ever had in our history. So we're all caught up in it. But the Lord wants us as believers to be contrary to that. And he said that you're transformed by the renewing of your mind. It starts with what you believe. And so often we leave out his truth about money when we think about the scripture. We think we believe him for eternal life. We believe him for salvation. We believe him for how we're going to treat our wife. We believe him how we're going to live our life, but not with our money. Mm-hmm. And that verse applies to our money, and it starts with our philosophy. And the very first distinction and the very first dividing line that the Lord made between himself and money is over the issue of who is going to be your master. That's the beginning point, isn't it, Sharon?
It is. And in man's economy, money is our master. You just think of some of the popular sayings that are out there. I owe, off to work I go. And you realize that we are getting up every morning thinking about money. Throughout the day, we're thinking about money. And as we go to bed, we think about money. It can become the center of everything we do in our lives.
Well, Sharon, you recently had an experience in one of your small group studies where a young person basically came out and said, money is controlling even my relationships in life.
My friend Charles and I have just met, and he doesn't know how much of my life has been spent teaching people about money. So he was saying this with a blank slate. And he came up to me, and he has been in a situation where he has been surrounded by money troubles. And what he said just really impacted my heart. And he said, I never realized that money could impact everything. Every single thing in my life. It has impacted my marriage. It has impacted my children. It has impacted all of my relationships. And I never would have dreamed that money would impact everything in my life.
You know, Sharon, I hear it on both sides of the spectrum as well. There are people who struggle financially, and they hear us say that money can become your master. And they say, yes, I absolutely get that. I'm getting calls from collectors. I think about money. I think about payday loans. I think about struggling to make my ends meet. They feel the weight of being in bondage financially. But there's the other end of that spectrum. And I can think throughout my life of at least a dozen people that I've heard their testimony go something like this. We were poor growing up, and it felt so bad. I made a vow I would never be poor. And they set the entire course of their life mm-hmm. around the acquisition of money and building their security around money. And so money became their master because they didn't want to feel the pain of financial mm-hmm. bondage. And yet it was actually controlling the trajectory of everything in their life. It was truly their master, even if you have a lot. In fact, the Proverbs say that it's the rich man who worries about being held ransom over his money, not the poor man.
Absolutely. And I hear that from people that I have met that have plenty, that have 6- and 7-figure incomes, and yet they say they long to return when life was more simple because they've had to center around their money decisions all day, every day.
You know, I think of the story of the rich young ruler. The rich young ruler was not in financial bondage mm-hmm. as we think of it today at all. But he was in financial bondage in terms of defining his own master. And the Lord asked him to lay that all down. And he went away sad because he chose who his master would be.
He could not release those possessions to Christ.
You know, I shared that story to a group outside the U.S., and they pointed out something to me one time that really insightful, Sharon, that most of the time when someone is referred to as rich in the scripture, They don't give their name. That is their name.
That is interesting.
They're identified by their possessions because that's how they see themselves, as the rich person. In God's economy, He is our only master. He's exclusively in control of our lives. And that's where it begins. Mm-hmm. And the Lord said, you have to decide which one you're going to serve. The second philosophy that divides man's economy and God's economy is in the area of our treasure. Sharon, in man's economy, what do we treasure?
It's absolutely money. We believe it can insulate us from problems. We think if I had more income, then I would not have a hard time paying my bills. Or if I had a bigger house, I would have a better situation for my children. We always believe that money insulates us from whatever problems we're having.
And the Lord wants us to treasure Him. In His economy, He is our treasure. He's more precious than anything that we have, anything that we could ever own. He's more precious than our bank account. And He's our source of security. And money will never give us security. In fact, I heard a profound statement by a man who had great wealth in terms of worldly riches. And he said it's been his observation that the Lord gives every person on earth a problem that money cannot solve. Isn't that interesting?
Isn't that interesting?
There are problems that money can never solve, no matter how much you have. In fact, he said it was his experience that the more he tried to solve it with money, the worse it got. And he was referring to some of the challenges with his own children. Money could not make their problems go away. And what he realized is that God designed our life experience that way so that we would know that money is never to be treasured above Him, because only God can solve our problem.
That's absolutely true. He's unchanging.
Well, Sharon, we're going to talk about the difference between living in man's economy and God's economy all week long, and we're going to go deeper on this topic of what do we believe, what's our philosophy about who's our master and what do we treasure. We'll be back with more of Money Life right after this.
The price of higher education has skyrocketed. According to a recent Gallup survey, families spend almost $15,000 per student per year of college, and many students often spend years just trying to decide which degree they need to pursue. Wouldn't it be better to help your child figure out what they need to study before they arrive on campus? You can, with the Career Direct Complete Guidance System from Crown Financial Ministries. Unlike other assessments that only examine one or two areas of career selection, Career Direct analyzes personality, interests, skills, and values. Your child can use it to explore career options and find the one God has uniquely gifted them for. Over 150,000 people of all ages have benefited from Career Direct. Check it out at careerdirectonline.org and get a free personality ID profile. That's careerdirectonline.org.
Welcome back to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley, and this week we're going to be talking about the differences between God's economy and man's economy. Sharon Epps is our guest, and Sharon, we left off talking about opposing philosophies of money. And we all have beliefs. We grow up with different beliefs, our family backgrounds, our experiences, what we were taught in school, shape what we think and believe about money. And one of the really big philosophies is the question of why. Why do I have money? What does man's economy teach us about the why of money?
Well, of course, I have it because I earned it and I deserve it. I worked hard. I get up in the morning, I go to work, and I do all that I have to accumulate this money. It's mine, of course.
Well, you know, Sharon, if it's not all mine and I don't deserve it because of my hard work, what does God's economy teach us?
Well, in God's economy, first of all, we learn the purpose of work is really for the development of our character and to give us the opportunity to serve others. That's very different than working to earn a paycheck. But in God's economy, when we understand that God is our provider, that He may use my job and my employer as the channel to give me my income, but ultimately he's the provider, it completely changes my perspective, not only of my source of income, but of how I handle my work.
And, you know, God taught us in Deuteronomy 8, Sharon, the belief that we should have about money. And this is ancient wisdom. This goes back to the time of Moses, mm-hmm. when the Lord was saying, here's what I want you to know and understand about my economy, because it's so drastically different than your economy. And he spoke to the Israelites, assuming that one day they would be prosperous, which in fact occurred. And he said, when you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. But be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, when you build fine houses and settle down, and when your herds and your flocks grow large, and your silver and your gold increase, and all you have is multiplied, then your heart will become proud, and you will forget the Lord your God. And he goes on to say, listen to this in verse 17, you may say to yourself, my power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. And so money has a tendency to turn us inward. And as you said, in man's economy, we actually exalt that. We point to the rich as examples of best practices, and we try to emulate them, and we want to follow them because we think they did it, and it was for their own benefit. Now, what's fascinating to me is the Lord said that you may say that to yourself. In other words, you're not going to wear a sign around your neck and advertise that you think that you're a self-made man. But in our hearts, we believe that. And he said, I'm going to get underneath the skin where only you know what you're thinking. And if you're thinking that, you are dead wrong. You know, Sharon, so many of us fall into that trap. And we start believing that it's all up to us. And then it didn't all come from God. But if it does not rain and the sun doesn't shine, how much money can we make?
None at all, because it all starts with the earth.
It all starts with the resources that God put on this earth. There's not much money being made on the moon. You know, there's no resources to work with. But here, God's given us an abundant earth, and it comes from him. And he can turn that off and take it away so quickly, and he doesn't want us to forget it. That's a crucial point in living in God's economy, because otherwise we feel the burden and the stress to be our own provider.
We do. And I have a personal example, if you'll allow me to be transparent for just a moment. I was actually teaching these principles years ago, and at the same time, we had a family relative that owed us a significant amount of money. And we were in a place that we really needed that money in order to meet our living expenses. And what I found was that I was relying on that person rather than God to be my provider. And as I did, my stress levels just increased incredibly. Our relationship with that person went downhill, and it was a very, very difficult time. And God sweetly reminded me that he was the one to provide for me. If he chose to use that person as the channel to do it, I would rejoice in him. But if he did not, I needed to understand that he was truly my provider. And it turned out he did not use that person to provide. But he provided in other such helpful, literally even miraculous ways, that it was a permanent reminder to me that when I discovered and lived in God's economy, when I relied on him to be my provider, the stress was gone, the angst in the relationship was gone, because I really understood my source.
You know, Sharon, that also goes to the other side of the coin, that oftentimes God is the withholder of resources.
Yes.
We want to look to him only as our provider, which is exciting, but there are times when he withholds, and he was showing you in that example that I'm going to withhold from that source because you've put confidence in that source. And he teaches us to turn back to him. Here's another big distinction. It's the reason for our wealth. When we have an abundance, we begin to get deceived. And in man's economy, what do we start to think?
We start to think that we can live independently. It sometimes impacts our marriage even, that we can be on our own and that we don't need to rely on him. So it makes us feel like we're in charge and that we can make things happen that need to happen.
Well, so often I hear people saying that they want to get out of debt so that they can be independent of all people. They can be independent of their employer, you know, take this job and love it. I mean, they want to get rid of their job. They want to get rid of all people who are making demands on their life. But in God's economy, when we prosper in God's economy, we have surplus, we have an abundance, it's actually not there, so we can flaunt it and be boastful and to say it's for me and I'm going to just design my ultimate retirement package. It's so we can help others. The purpose is truly to be a blessing, to be there for other people, especially in a time of crisis. And so there's a major difference between the reason God blesses us. Well, we've got more to talk about, Sharon. When we come back, I want to go deeper on this topic of learning to live in God's economy versus man's economy. You're listening to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley. We'll be right back.
What would you say if I told you that in 10 short weeks you could decrease your debt, increase your savings, and strengthen your relationships while growing spiritually? Sound too good to be true? Well, all of these results are being reported by thousands who have completed the Biblical Financial Study from Crown Financial Ministries. This 10-week study teaches you more than practical principles about managing money. It focuses on the life-changing truth of God's Word. Individuals are being transformed as they learn proven biblical principles and how to apply them to their finances. To find a biblical financial study group in your area, go online to the My Crown section of crown.org. And if there's not a Crown 10-week biblical financial study already planned in your area, consider starting one. To find out how, call 1-800-722-1976 or visit crown.org.
Welcome back to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley, and Sharon, as we wrap up today's program, we really need to hammer home this major, major, major distinction in what we believe about money. Because when you make this distinction, you'll find whether you're trapped in one or liberated in the other. And as we started this program with that quote by Dr. Mark Faber, it's shocking that he believes the wheels are going to come off. And in man's economy, there's a natural tendency to panic. Mm-hmm. And we begin to think, how are we going to protect all of our money? I'm alarmed, and I need to figure out a way to hunker down and insulate myself from any damage. That's the natural tendency in man's economy. And there are a lot of people making a living giving advice of exactly how to do that and how to store up all the food you're going to need. But in God's economy, it's totally different, isn't it?
It is. God really used 2 Corinthians 8 and 9. My heroes, the Macedonians, were very poor in every way, except that they were rich towards God. And as Paul wrote about the Macedonians, he really captured that whole process and that whole thought of the fact that what we've been given is to be used to give others. In fact, 2 Corinthians 9:11 says, God will make you rich in every way so that you can always give freely, and your giving through us will make people give thanks to God. Hmm. And if you can imagine how different our world would be in times like this, when the times are so difficult, if we literally gave freely and it resulted in thanks to God, that's discovering and living God's economy.
Well, Sharon, I believe those days are coming when Christians are going to shine like stars in the universe, when we're going to stand out, having had the wisdom to be prepared for times like this. I think the Lord's calling us like in the days of Joseph, when he spoke through Joseph and he said, there's going to be a famine in the land, but there's hope. There's a way to get ready for that, but you have to start now. And I think there's a sense of urgency to prepare the body of Christ to be the Josephs in the land. We cannot depend on Pharaoh. We cannot depend on the government. But we get the privilege of fulfilling God's purposes when there's an economic downturn, and to demonstrate his wisdom, not so that we're insulated, but so that we are in the middle of meeting needs as the Macedonians did. And James said, suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to him, go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about his physical needs, what good is it? And what he's saying is, in a very practical way, when you live in God's economy, you're the one prepared to meet needs of others, and that glorifies God. Well, Sharon, we're going to talk about this all week, and we're going to get into some very practical, hands-on, step-by-step advice of how to get out of man's economy and learn to be in God's economy. I'm looking forward to this week.
I am too. At Crown, we really want to journey with you as you learn to discover and live in God's economy, and it all begins with very practical steps.
Well, I'm Chuck Bentley. You've been listening to Money Life. I look forward to having you back again tomorrow.